This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today's podcast is all about the subject of coffee. You know, coffee is really subject to so many controversies throughout my nutrition career. I began in the field of nutrition, trying to ascertain whether patients were drinking too much coffee, telling them to reduce their coffee. Of course, those were the days of when Sanka was popular as a coffee alternative. Everybody was trying to kick coffee. Now, coffee's come back into vogue. And today we're going to explore that controversy with an expert. We're actually going to talk to Dr. Coffee. That's his moniker. He's Dr. Stephen Hellshine. He's a coffee aficionado. And it's his belief that coffee is actually a powerhouse superfood. He's founder of Level 1 Diagnostics, which is a cardiovascular testing program that uses advanced non-invasive technology that's really, really quite sophisticated to detect and prevent cardiovascular disease, and Level 1 Therapeutics, which is a health and wellness program which supports optimal health. And he is passionate about progressive health issues and encouraging people towards greater health and well-being. His background is as a Renaissance man, having studied chiropractic and Ayurvedic medicine, as well as being an expert in the field of acupuncture. So, Stephen, welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You actually graced us with your presence a few months ago. It's nice having you back because I promised we would get you back to talk specifically about coffee.
And I'm really glad to be back, and I thank you for having me. And I've got to tell you, I understand why people, including me now, listen to your podcasts all the time, because that was a wonderful interview we spent together. So thank you.
Well, that's actually how I build my listenership, is I try to interview as many people as possible. And I think we now have about 30 or 40 people who are actually listening to our podcast. So thank you for continuing even after having been interviewed. So, let's get right to the subject. Coffee in the crosshairs for so long. Dr. Marcus Welby, you remember those commercials? People would be like irritable. They'd yell at their wife or kick the furniture. And then Dr. Marcus Welby would walk in. You know, he had a lot of time on his hands because I guess he wasn't as busy as doctors are today. He would make house calls. And he'd walk in and he'd, in a calm voice, he'd tell that angry person that maybe they were a little hypercaffeinated and maybe they should be drinking Sanka. Are you old enough to remember those commercials? I don't want to blow your cover, but I think you probably are.
Marcus Welby, MD. You forgot the MD when. So yes, I remember him well.
Inexorably applied to Marcus Welby was the MD, voice of reassurance, and a great disappointment when a lot of people went to the doctor and the doctor didn't have the same bedside manner. But anyway, this was the era when coffee was implicated in cardiovascular disease. It was thought to cause blood pressure to go up. It was thought to cause palpitations. It was thought to make people nervous and anxious and suffer from insomnia. And so many of my patients are apologetic. We do a history, diet history, and they say, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get off coffee. And I generally tell them, hey, have you heard the news? Coffee is the new health food. So tell us about that, please.
It really is. And I can start by telling you that there was one specific study that really brought it home for me. And it was a study from the Journal of Nutrition. And they surveyed about 37,000 people who drank coffee. And they found that anybody a good quality coffee per day, 4 to 5 cups. The all-cause mortality, that mortality means death, was significantly decreased in this group of 37,000. Hmm. And I was like, are you kidding me? I've always been told coffee is got a whole bunch of things. So that's when we started looking at all the topics, coffee and heart disease, coffee and liver disease, coffee and mental illness problems, anxiety, and even the whole blood pressure idea with coffee is very wrong. So we're going to have a good discussion today, you and I.
Great. Okay. So, you know, obviously there are some properties to coffee that may be responsible for this beneficial effect, among which are the caffeine. That's one thing that we used to think was bad. I personally drink decaffeinated coffee. I guzzle a lot of it because, frankly, I get hooked on caffeine. I take more and more, and I think it makes me, you know, less calm, more nervous and jittery. Am I missing out on the benefits of coffee by drinking decaf?
I believe you are, and I think you should at least have at least 1 or 2 cups of caffeine per day from a good quality coffee. The thought has always been that caffeine leads to cardiac arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats. Yeah. And there was a fabulous Danish study that showed not only does it not, but even if it causes some arrhythmias, they will not be the type that will lead to a heart attack or stroke.
Mm-hmm. So they're the so-called benign arrhythmias. So maybe a skip beat here and there, but not, they can't lead to potentially fatal ventricular tachycardia, which is the exit scenario for many people.
Yeah, so the Danish study did not find any risk of flutters associated with the consumption of caffeine from a good quality coffee.
Hmm. And I was also interested in a study recently, this really surprises me, is that the study also suggests that the incidence of atrial fibrillation is not greater in people who drink caffeinated coffee. And that was a big surprise. And it was thought that there was a protective mechanism against the deterioration of the electrical system of the heart. That, I mean, clearly, you know, you drink a lot of coffee and, you know, maybe your heart rate speeds up. I mean, I think that has to be acknowledged. But the long-term protective effects outweigh the transient accelerating effects of coffee, if I have that correct.
Let's look at, yes, you do have it correct. And let's look at it that your heart increases when you do aerobic exercise. But the long-term benefit of aerobic exercise increases the strength of the heart. Now, if that makes sense to you and your listeners, then we can talk about the same thing with regard to 1 to 5 cups of caffeine in it from a good coffee per day. It will not lead to heart degeneration. It actually leads to making a better heart. Mm-hmm. And that
almost
is
like,
totally
almost like conditioning the heart like a brisk walk or, you know, perhaps even like a sauna. I mean, there's been thought to be benefits of the sauna where you just sit there, but your heart rate accelerates when you sit in the heat.
Exactly. Exactly. The difference between the sauna concept and the coffee concept is that for years, years and years, everybody knew that all the studies from Sweden that saunas are good for you. They help detoxify you. They help increase metabolism. They help get rid of excess water retention. However, everybody always thought that coffee is bad for you and that caffeine in coffee is bad for you. Caffeine is the world's most favorite stimulant. It raises alertness. It combats sleepiness. It makes the body produce more adrenaline. It increases focus, drive, and productivity, and it's an ideal workout motivator.
Oh, it actually is a performance enhancer. But what I've heard is that if you want to use coffee for performance enhancement, the best way to use it is if you're a sporadic coffee user. If you're somebody who already wakes up and has, you know, 2-3 cups of strong coffee, and, you know, you do that before an event, you won't feel the performance improvement. But if you, like me, don't drink coffee that's caffeinated, and, you know, during a triathlon, you know, right before the event or maybe in the middle of the event, you have a caffeinated, supplement, that can actually increase your performance and speed.
There was a study out that was reported in the New York Times that talked about one group that used it sporadically. And the reason I mentioned New York Times is I don't remember which journal this is in. It's not at my fingertips right now, but I remember it being reported in the Times. There was one group was people that used it sporadically, like they'd use it once a week. The other group was a group that used it a half an hour to an hour before they started working out. And there was no difference in impact by using it every day.
Okay.
What you're speaking about is the difference between the nervous energy that caffeine can bring and the focused energy that caffeine can bring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we recommend is that you use a source of L-theanine with your caffeine, with your coffee, and that tapers that jittery feeling, and it increases the focus.
And of course, the theanine is naturally present in tea, which makes tea actually the ideal caffeine delivery system, although you're going to get generally less caffeine.
That's correct. There is a supplement called T-Vigo. There's other ones, sure, and I know you probably recommend some as well. But this is a great source of the L-theanine from green teas and other teas. And we recommend that you take an L-theanine supplement with your cup of coffee in the morning, because it really will help get rid of that nervous energy, and it'll help promote the focus factor of caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think the Brits, prior to the advent of Starbucks, which of course has now made inroads internationally, the Brits culturally would prefer a cup of tea in the afternoon. And it wasn't about stimulating them, you know, like Americans, you know, go, 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 you know, I feel the afternoon crash and I've got to have some coffee. It was more about, you know, let me relax in a nice kind of tea ritual. And get a little bit boost, mental boost from the caffeine, but also get that kind of relaxing effect from the plentiful theanine in tea.
It's funny that you bring that up, because one of the studies that I really liked, which came out of the Department of Nutrition at London's King College, so we're talking about the English, was that caffeine from coffee boosts the metabolic rate by as much is 11%, and in lean people, it can increase fat burning by almost 30%.
Hmm. Wow.
So
that's pretty impressive.
They're gonna have to change their thoughts because of their London King's College studying this. They're gonna have to change their thoughts to move more towards coffee than they are just tea.
Yeah. Okay, folks. At this point, let's pause because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you, so here goes. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com.
That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Stephen Helfshine. So caffeine has benefits. What about the brain benefits of caffeine? Is there evidence that caffeine does something to, say, protect against neurodegeneration or Alzheimer's, or keep the brain more focused and functional?
So let's start with the big one that's going on now, which has to do with depression, mood, and stress. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about the neurodegeneration, and we can talk about forms of dementia. About 5% of the population in this country, up to 20% of the population in this country at any one time, is battling depression. And a Harvard study from 2011 found that women, and it was just done with women because there's a higher incidence of depression in women than there are men. So they use that as their lab rat, so to speak, rather than muddying the waters by having two genders. Hmm. But they found that women who drank at least 4 cups of coffee every day reduce their risk of depression between 15 and 20%.
Hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And there's another journal called JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. I think that's what it stands for, right?
Mm-hmm.
They posted a study showing drinking 4 cups of coffee can reduce the risk of suicide. You want to give me a drum roll?
Wow.
53%.
Ooh. Whoa. Okay. And there's nothing out there that can match that. There's no pharmaceutical drug that can get anywhere near that. In fact, there are concerns that certain antidepressants, while maybe alleviating depression to some extent, may make people sort of either stone-cold killers or calculating suicidalists. You know, just somehow remove the whatever inhibitions they may have about, getting that knife out or that gun out.
And exactly, Dr. Hoffman. And here's why this becomes important. And if I just get this one message out, I'll feel like I did something good in your podcast today. It's not related to the caffeine.
Okay. And that's the other aspect I want to cover, because obviously there are other components in coffee that I think are crucial. Yeah.
Yeah. It's related to the antioxidants found in a good quality coffee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about, polyphenols, obviously, these dark compounds that are bitter flavored, much like the dark compounds in chocolate and in wine. These are polyphenol compounds that have crucial health benefits.
Absolutely. When you plant a coffee bean in the ground, from start to finish, from the day it's planted to the day it's roasted and then packed, you have to be of the mindset we want to produce a coffee that is medicinal quality. And if you don't, then you don't get the bang for the buck with regard to all the nutrients that are in coffee.
You know, Steve, I suppose it's a little bit like wine, because it's actually been discovered that certain types of wine are healthier than others. I mean, they may have similar tastes or flavors or colors, but the Pinot Noir grape that is grown in a certain part of Sardinia or whatever, I mean, I'm no great wine connoisseur, has a higher content of resveratrol and terastilbein and all these important things that have become nutraceuticals.
Correct. And it's the same thing with coffee. So you have your antioxidants, which are the health-promoting properties of coffee. It's higher in coffee than the typical things you would think. So if you said to a patient, I want to increase your antioxidants, you'd probably say, they'd say, how do you get that? You'd probably say things like, what, oranges or raspberries or grape juice or blueberries. Those are the kind of things that most doctors are talking about. Mm-hmm. The antioxidants in a good coffee is higher than all of them.
Wow. And that's according to, you know, some scale of measurement of antioxidants, which can be measured in a laboratory.
Yes, and that study was done by the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health.
Mm-hmm. So let me just throw something out there, because there's a bit of a stigma attached to coffee, notably California in its wisdom. Under Prop 64, I think it is. They have a proposition
yep.
that enables a lot of frivolous lawsuits based on, you know, the potential for harm for any number of consumer goods, which are fine in 49 other states. They state that coffee is a possible carcinogen because of its acrylamide content. Acrylamide is something that you get when you make burnt toast. But of course, coffee is roasted, and I've looked at that controversy. I really don't know what to make of it. I think it's one of those areas of science that's not settled science, but of course, in California, they've jumped in with both feet.
Right. So when we talk about coffee, there are about five things that we want to make sure. First, the coffee is organic. Second, there are near zero defects, so it's a specialty grade coffee. The third is that there's no mold. The fourth is that it's sustainable. And the fifth, that it has excellent taste. Now, why am I bringing that up to answer your question mm-hmm. about what's going on in California? The fact is that if you then take the bean and you go to roast it and you burn it, and I don't want to mock Starbucks, but everybody knows that it tastes burnt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody good.
Well, some people,
there, but
some
everybody
people
are
so
knows
used to, they
that
just
it tastes
like
burnt.
That. They just want to be, you know, some people like their toast burnt, you know, and they like their coffee
so what
bold.
Right, exactly. So what California did, which I don't understand, is that for years we know that the throwing of a steak on the grill and getting it charred increases the risk of certain cancers. How come they didn't go after steaks?
Right.
But they went after yeah. coffee.
I think it's probably easier to shake down outfits like Starbucks and other coffee makers for a settlement. Which is really what the object of all these regulations are, because really they're in cahoots with the plaintiff's bar when they formulate those laws so that, ka-ching, 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 follow the money trail.
Right. So you have to get the roasting of the bean right. If you under-roast it, you'll have acrylamide. If you over-roast it, then you're going to have the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons.
PAHs.
And again, yeah, it's PAHs. And again, this is the same thing that will happen when you throw a hamburger on the grill and burn it and then mm-hmm. sit down to eat it. You'll have all these types of chemicals in it that you don't want, which is a shame that you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because a medicinal grade coffee has so many yeah. good chemicals in it that you're not going to find elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, when people worry about what happens when they eat charred meat, I tell them, you know, make sure that you have your meat with antioxidant-containing foods, which will mitigate and even neutralize the potential adverse effects of cooked meat. You know, cooked meat is as old as civilization, and if these charred byproducts were so harmful, I don't think we would have ever made it to 2018. I think the human race would have died out with the advent of the fire. So, okay,
right.
This is a good point at which to pause, because, Steve, as you know, we divide these podcasts into two parts. And I want to mention that Steve's been working hard on this. This is a labor of love, developing what I think is, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, is the first functional coffee. It's a coffee that is designed not only to taste great, and I've sampled it, it really does taste great, but it's also a functional food. It's designed to really deliver the medicinal and nutraceutical benefits of coffee. Is that correct?
It's correct. The coffee's brand is Purity, and it's the only medicinal grade coffee. And when we come back after the break, I'd love to talk to you about why it's different than any other coffees and how Purity proved that it's different. And it's delicious, but it's got lots of good chemicals in it.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's pause. We're talking to Dr. Coffee, coffee expert extraordinaire, Dr. Stephen Hellschein. And we'll be right back with more of today's discussion on the health benefits of coffee. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.